This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, welcome and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, Medical Intuitive Carol Reitberger, and the topic of today's show is on vision boards and how to use the vision board very, what I call powerful and effectively to manifest what you desire. However, in today's show, I'm going to be talking about vision boards and giving you a little bit about the vision board 101, but I'm really going to be looking at vision boards different than just cutting out the pictures of the things that you love or the things you want, pasting them on paper and having them just magically manifest. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but I'm going to be sharing the soul's perspective on manifestation and vision boards. And I think you'll find it a very interesting show, and it's going to really make a difference, not only on what you put on the board, but also what you believe that you're capable of manifesting. Two very important ingredients, and I'll share with that throughout the show on the soul's perspective. So it's going to be a very different show on vision boards. If you haven't made one, we're going to do some simplicity way of doing it and taking away some of the angst that is associated with it. But it should be a very fun show. I've certainly done some myself, and I'll be anxious to share that with you as well. I'm also going to be taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about today's topic and creating your vision board for 2014, that's a perfect thing to be doing at this time as we're entering into the energy of closure that begins April 23rd and goes through June 2nd. It's a wonderful time because a lot of the things that we've been working on, those doors are going to close. Now, it's kind of a double-edged sword. On one side, whoa, it's very exciting that they're closing. On the other side, if we don't have that plan or even a vision board in place of what we want the future to look like, then there can be a lot of anxiety and angst and worry and guilt and disappointment and sadness, and a lot of negative emotions can come up. So it's a perfect time, if you haven't done a vision board, to do one. If you have, let's pull it out from wherever you've put it and let's revisit it. Don't take anything off of it, but let's see if we need to add something new. Perfect time for the closure. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. Taking your calls, 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada. And then international callers also dial 877-230-3062. Then with your international calling code, and voila, I will get to talk to you. I do have two events scheduled in Eagan, Minnesota. The first event, is an evening of readings. It's going to be happening on May 2nd. That's a Friday evening from 7 to 9 Central Standard Time. In this event, what I do is I start by sharing some of the energetics of what's going on. We are energy beings first and physical beings second, and a lot of the energy that's happening now, and as we move into this closure model that we're in and the energetics of it, it's going to be a time that I'm going to share how does this energetic transformation that we're going through, how's it going to affect and impact the physical body? So if you do by any chance experience some of these things, you won't become overly concerned that something major is wrong. You can look at it energetically and the first perspective, and then many times that shift of perception will help you better understand what's going on in the body. Our body is really a hologram of where we are energetically and where we are mentally, meaning our state of mind. So, and then I'm going to answer as many questions as the evening is going to allow within that 2 hours. I try to do it as fast as I can so I can get as many questions answered as possible. So that's the Friday night, May 2nd event. And then on Saturday, May 3rd, I'm offering an all-day workshop on the Celestial Helpers, learning how to enter into conversation with them and understanding how they serve us. Again, very important and very timely in where we are in this closure energy, because we have so much help on the other side that is there holding the space for us to be able to create this new reality and to be able to dialogue them in a way that we really know we're dialoguing with them and we really know they're dialoguing with us. So a very interesting class. I'm going to be talking about the differences of angels and guides. There is a vibrational difference. And then how to be able to call on the guides in specific questions, and then how to be able to call on the angels in specific situations. I'm also going to be talking about how they protect us and they serve us, and then also how to discern and interpret the messages that they are sending us. Right now, with the energy where we're headed into, we're having a lot of very vivid dreams. These dreams are part of this clearing, this letting go, this closure. And if you don't do any kind of dream interpretation, there's some wonderful books. Betty Bathard's book, The Dream Book, very original. Betty has a very simplistic way that she looks at dreams. If you have to have a train in the dream, you just look up trains in Betty's book. And there's many, many books that are very good. And then you can go to Amazon.com and look at all the books on dreams. But it really would be worthwhile for you to have two things right now, a dream book and a journal. And what that's going to do is it's another form of vision board, but it's also going to help you. So a very interesting workshop and a very timely workshop that I'm going to be teaching in Eagan, Minnesota on Saturday, May 3rd. If you would like more information or you'd like to register, just go to my homepage, www.ritberger.com, and then just go ahead and register. My early bird discount expires tomorrow, April 17th. So if you're going to plan to register, look at maybe doing it today or tomorrow by 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then what you'll do is you'll save a little money. And if your vision board has more money on it, voila, it may very well happen. So again, please check out my website, www.ritberger.com. Well, you know, the use of vision boards certainly aren't a new concept. In fact, they've been used for ages. We can even go back as we look at what we would refer to vision boards as far as images that not really tell kind of the history of what's going on at the time, but the part about dreams. And if we were to go in and we were to look at we were to look at some of the different glyphs that the Mayans used in their mandalas and the way that they did it, that was creating a vision board. It was capturing the reality, but it was also creating a new reality. And we can find it in the hieroglyphics in the Egyptian tombs. We can find it in all of the different areas that as far back as we've gone in history, whether we're doing needlepoint, whether they're doing mandalas, artwork, vision boards have been there for a long time. And the purpose of them is to, of course, help us manifest what we desire. And they're a tool. They're a very powerful tool. And what they can do is they can really help us manifesting, but we have to believe that they work, because if we don't, then we don't really get the results that we desire. When I was getting ready for the show, I was thinking about how could I really explain vision boards and the powerful part of it. And I remember that there was a fun gizmo that a friend gave me based on a response that I made in a conversation with her. And that response was that, you know, I can see auras. That's the result of the death experience. But I can't move silverware like I used to as a child. And I had forgotten, actually, that I was able to move a fork from one side of the table to the other, and then, of course, was immediately chastised from the standpoint, don't do that, it makes people really uncomfortable. And what it did is it created a middle block. So I was saying to her, you know, I'm an intuitive, I'd love to be able to move this silverware around the way that I did. But I concentrate on it. I mean, I look at the spoon and it's like, okay, you're going to move. And nothing ever happens. So she went out and bought me this gizmo that's called Mind Flex. And it's a fun thing. I actually keep it on my desk because when I get to a place, especially when I get writer's block and I need to get free of that, I really go in, I pull out the Mind Flex. And what it is it's a game that actually has a headpiece that you put on that monitors the actual vibrational or the movement of the mind, meaning your thoughts and the concentration on the thoughts. And what it does is it actually activates a fan in the console that moves this ball around. And I have found this really very interesting because, first of all, it let me realize the power of the limitations that I had in believing that I could move the spoon from one side to the other. But what it also did is it took away that concentration. And so then I started playing with the different thoughts. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to put that ball in the air. Boom, it went up in the air. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it on the left side of the table. And then rather than concentrating left side of the table, I'd say, I'm going to put it on the left side of the table. And boom, the ball would go there. But what the Mind Flex does is it actually functions on the premise that different thoughts create different vibration, different brain activity, which is what the headset does, and it actually moves the fan based on the movement and the degree of movement to be able to put the ball exactly where you want it to go. So what the Mind Flex does is that it manifests different results based on the different quality of thoughts. And it is just a lot of fun. So the power of the mind to do amazing things isn't really a new concept. In fact, it's one that we've heard about in so many self-help books. We can go back and read a lot of the ancient books around the power of the power to be able to heal. But physicist Werner Heisenberg discovered in his amazing work that the mind truly is capable of influencing physical matter, and that those thoughts can actually shape and even reshape our reality. And the MindFlex gizmo game is based on the same premise of that. So when we take this process and we think about the power of the mind and the power to move things and to be able to create things and manifest things, then we can apply that same thing to vision boards, because what vision boards do is they really harness the power of the mind. Now, a vision board, for any of you who haven't done it, is really a collage of pictures. Maybe you just go through magazines, and it could be Car and Driver, it could be Forbes, it could be Money Magazine, it could be Vogue Magazine, any magazine, it could be Gardner's Magazine, it could be Farm Magazine, any magazine that really can help create. You can find the pictures that will help you in creating your manifestation board, as I call it, i.e. vision board. So you get a collage of pictures. You takes any of your favorite items. I've had people, when I've helped people put these things together, what we do is I'll say to them, okay, we're going to do vision boards. I want you to bring different items that have real significance and value to you, and items that you could put on this board, and they're not something that you would miss on a daily basis. You could put bling, you can put words, you can put feathers, you can put mask, you can put anything that has value to you that can be glued on a piece of paper that's going to create really a picture, or what I call a vision storyboard, of what you'd like to desire. Now, the purpose of the storyboard is to remind the brain every time you look at it of what you desire in the future. Now, you notice I use the word desire instead of want and need. Want and need are driven by the needs and wants of the human ego. And the brain has so many limitations, so many should, could, would around that, that it's very difficult for the brain to move beyond the ego to be able to manifest what you desire. Desire is a very benign word in the energy field. It means that you have this image of what you desire. You're certainly willing to do whatever's needed for that to manifest, but you're not so attached to it that you put time frames on it and deadlines on it and all these rules and stipulations and regulations to it. So what we do is, with this vision board, is it says to the mind, this is what I desire in the future. So whenever you're creating something around that, there's some certain rules and common pitfalls that we fall into that I want to share. But before that, I say that is, I have created many, many vision boards, and some of them have worked beautifully, successfully. I've forgotten about it after I created them, and then I may find myself 2 or 3 years later as actually living it. And one such example is that I was in a bookstore. I love when I go to new areas to go into the local bookstores and get a flavor for what, you know, type of books that the bookstore owner buys. And if there's any old books, I love to collect first editions of Manly Hall and Madame Blavatsky and many Dion Fortune. So I go in and I look at these. And I was in this bookstore in Flagstaff, Arizona, many years ago. And I was looking around, and literally a book fell off the shelf. And I had remembered on a vision board that I created when I decided that I really wanted to be a writer, that I wanted to find the perfect publishing company to be able to do that. And the book that fell off the shelf was You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. And when it fell off the shelf, I remember that on the vision board that Hay House was actually one of the publishers that I put in writing on my vision board, and voila, this book fell off and said, you know, I need to go back to the vision board and I need to revisit it and I need to look at that Hay House and see what the connection is and just put some energy into it. And it was a year later that Reed Tracy, the president of Hay House, showed up at a workshop I was doing in Calistoga, California. I completely forgot about it. This gentleman was sitting way at the back and he was a little overdressed for the class that I was teaching and the people that were there, and he was just intriguing to me. And he came up at the break and he said, I'd like to have lunch with you. And it's like, oh, okay. And that skepticism comes in. And so when we went and had lunch, he cut right to the chase and he said, Louise Hay wants to publish your book. And I said, I don't have one. He says, well, I think you ought to start writing one. I created another vision board. And that vision board was on Your Personality, Your Health, which was the very first book that I wrote and published that captured both my intuitiveness and my scientific perspective of how we heal ourselves. So, again, vision boards work. And, boy, I've had other ones that are just absolutely miserable, meaning that they don't produce any results. And I look at them and I think, okay, tear them apart, add more things, do more things. But there's certain pitfalls that I found that we fall into, and I want to start by sharing those, and then I'm going to go into more depth as we get in deeper into the show. So when creating a vision board, start by avoiding some of the common pitfalls. Don't create a vision board that doesn't align with your core values. For example, if you want to put a new car on your vision board, and your core value says that the car needs to be economical, it needs to be reliable, it needs to be safe. You actually commute, do a lot of commuting. So what you want is that you want to have a car that falls within that core value of how you perceive that car. So now if you were to go and to find a car on the vision board and you found a high performance car, it was expensive, it was small, so it could be dangerous. It had very low gas mileage because you had to put in premium gas because of the engine and the performance that it had. Then what's going to happen is, very honestly, that car image on that board isn't going to produce the results that you're going to desire. Now, I'm not talking about the beliefs that you don't deserve the car, because you do deserve everything that you desire to manifest. But what I'm talking about is work within your core values. And when you do that, then you believe, literally, not beliefs, but you believe that you can truly manifest what you desire, and you're not at odds with each other. A vision board is very energetic, and being at odds with each other, with yourself, just really creates a lot of vibrational energy that's frustration, and as a result, the vision board doesn't produce the results that you're looking for. The other thing is, don't put on the board what you would like to do, but you're afraid to do. And this, I'm going to tell a very quick story, is because if you put something on your vision board that you're afraid to do, meaning you have a fear associated with it, that fear and the thoughts associated with it and the limitations are actually going to override what you desire. And I'm going to give you an example. I was doing a class on vision boards, and a woman in the class, we had a bunch of travel magazines, and she cut out this picture of this cruise ship. And when we went around the room, we were talking about, she says, Carol, I've always wanted to take a cruise. And I said, well, great. That's a wonderful thing. Where do you want to cruise to? And she said, well, I'd like to cruise to Alaska. Yeah, that's, I live in San Francisco, so it's not very far, and it's not like I'm going to have to go clear across the ocean into, you know, going into Europe or anything. And so I could start to tell already limitations on it. And I said to her, I said, do you believe that you can manifest this cruise? And she took a very deep breath, and I watched her energy actually get very frenzied. And I said to her, sweetie, are you afraid of something? And she says, I am scared to death of water. I said, oh, honey, we need to rethink this cruise, because if this is something you desire and you're afraid of water, you could do the cruise, but you're going to walk around with life vest on and puffies on your arms, and you're not going to have any fun. Do we need to rethink this? And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, maybe what we should put on your vision board also is something to address the fear of water. What we could do is, maybe what we do is we take, find a picture of you taking swimming lessons, or maybe we take a picture of you and put you on the board and have this big puffy cloud and has that, you know, using different hypnotherapy and things. I'm not afraid of water. But put something on your board that's going to address the fear, because otherwise your board may manifest some of the things, but it won't manifest the cruise. So what's going to happen is the way the human brain works is, oh, well, this isn't working. See, I could have manifested all these things, but I didn't manifest the cruise. So therefore, it was not successful. Therefore, that I really haven't done my homework, meaning going back to my core values, to really addressing what I desire, but also addressing the limitations to it. And those, the vision board, take all of those limitations, those fears that you have, and then come in and then also look at it differently, which I'm going to talk about. The third most important pitfall to be able to really help your vision board, manifestation board, to be able to produce what you desire and the success is, it's okay to put up what you wish for, but you also have to be willing to take the step to make those wishes come true. I think that's the most common pitfall of all of the different aspects of the vision board and why they aren't successful, is that we can wish, we can dream, we can do all of these things. But if we're going to do that and we're going to put it on the board and invest the time, and then we're going to harbor all of the different fears that we have and allow that behavior to drive it, we're not going to manifest. And that's what I realized when I was doing my manifestation boards that were miserable failures, is that what I was doing is I was wishing for a completely different reality, but in reality, I didn't know what it was, so my fears, my ego, was driving it. And as a result, I found myself living the wishes but not doing the work, because my fears were actually blocking me. So those are some of the things that you can do. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about this, but I do want to jump in, and let's take Stephanie. Hi, sweetie from Michigan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. How can I help you?
Hello.
Oops, sorry, you cut out there, sweet.
Hello.
Hi. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Oh, hi, sweetie. I know that my producer is just working that board like crazy to keep us connected. How can I help you, sweet?
Hi there. Sorry, my daughter's in the background.
That's good. I love child energy.
I am calling. It actually has a lot to do with my daughter. I have been battling with postpartum depression, I guess you could say, but it's mostly anxiety and OCD for coming up on a year now. And I've been doing everything to beat this and get through this naturally with no antidepressants or anything. And I'm still lingering with some of it.
Right.
I've been using, you know, natural supplements and vitamins and eating better and all that good stuff, and it's like the anxiety and even like intrusive thoughts just still are like lingering with me, and it's devastating, and I'm just getting so worn out from trying to get through this.
Absolutely. So I would be remiss if I did not suggest that you do go and talk to someone on getting on an antidepressant. You don't need much, sweetie. So it isn't like we're going to have to put you on something that you're going to be on the rest of your life, or you're going to have to be on for really even a couple of years. I don't know what time frame. You're so close to being there. It's just that the chemistry change, the hormonal change that occurred in the body, and the baby, while in the womb, really was very, feels very active and actually depleted a lot of the minerals. I mean, I can pick up still an amino acid deficiency. I can pick up some B12 deficiency, even with everything that you've done. So there actually were some physical things that transpired. There's some wonderful antidepressants that you could take that could, that aren't narcotic. Cymbalta is one of them. And it's just a mild way to get you through the day. You could maybe look at Wellbutrin. You could look at, I just lost it. It'll come back to me. But talk to someone about it, sweetie. Talk to your doctor. And again, very mild dosage just to get you through this place so your body and your adrenals and your immune system can get back to a place that it remembers it's doing what it needs to do.
Right.
And so, and that, and really what that's going to do is that's going to address the anxiety. And so, you know, sweetie, is your anxiety is what I call generalized anxiety. And it isn't that you have a chronicness, even the OCD, you don't have a chronicness, but what is happening is the OCD is because you're just plain chemically tired your body of dealing with this. So I really would be remiss if I didn't suggest go talk to someone, find something that is non-narcotic, something that is not for a long time, something that's just going to give you that little boost to get you out of bed, to be able to engage and enjoy life and start feeling good again.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anything else that I need to be focusing on as far as, you know, as like diet goes? I mean, I want to do everything in my best power.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? You are. I mean, I would have naturally, just by kind of the way that I work, one size fits all, which is a little bit dangerous, as we both know. But usually what occurs is that with OCD and that type of anxiety that's associated with it, I'm going to find all kinds of magnesium and magnesium deficiencies. I don't find those in you, sweetie.
Okay. Yeah, I've been taking it for a while now.
Yes. So this is very, very good. So keep on doing what you're doing. It's just all you need, honey, is you just need a little bit of boost, a little bit of help to get your body to just take a pause, take advantage of everything that you've done, put your sleep cycle back into place. I do have a little bit of sleep deprivation due to the anxiety in your dreams. You're still releasing some adrenaline during the night. So it's just a, you know, while we may not want to do it, it's just something that I really think would be a quick, easy way for you to get this done.
Okay. All righty.
So anyway, but now, of course, you have to follow your intuition, but I did need to say that to you because it's, you know, it's just like Mary Poppins. It's like taking a, you know, a spoonful of sugar a day. And that's kind of how it feels with doing something so mild, is all it takes is just a little. And then, oh my gosh, the world's going to look very different. By the way, the little girl, your daughter, is a crystal, and you're going to need all the energy you can to keep up with her.
Okay. Yeah, she's really a little bundle of energy, to say the least.
Yes, she is, and she is you on steroids. She is Miss Curiosity, and I absolutely love it.
She's great.
Yep, thank she you is. So You are so welcome, sweetie. You have a wonderful day. I do want to take a quick commercial break. I am going to come back and talk more about vision board, the soul, and how to be able to look at the vision board and be able to manifest what you desire. And I'm going to take your calls. So stay tuned. I'm going to be right back.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it.
You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Welcome back. If you're just joining me, today's topic is a very fun one. I'm talking about vision boards and how to use them to manifest what you desire and how to really help a vision board really work. I'm also taking your calls, so if you have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That's for U.S. callers, Canadian callers, and also for international callers. So the very first thing that you do when you create a vision board is that you go in and you start by assembling all the pictures that really appeal to that deepest inner self. And what you do when you appeal to that deeper inner self, and not that cultural perspective, but you really use that primordial physical aspect, the instinctive part of you, that strength-based part of you, and then what you're going to do is that you're going to find that the pictures that you actually even are attracted to are going to be very, very different. So when you appeal to that deeper sense of self and utilizing your inner strengths, what you do is you unleash one of the most powerful forces on this planet. That is the imagination of your soul. And in that imagination of the soul, there are no possibilities. Everything is just what it's divinely supposed to be. So virtually everything that we manifest is really a result of our thoughts merging with our imagination. Now, the board itself doesn't really impact reality. What changes the reality is that your imagination, using it to create images of the new reality that you desire. That imagination is that energetic aspect of vision boards that make things real, that make things happen. It's the imagination is part of that law of attraction. And so when you create the vision board, what you're doing is when you go back and you visit it, what you're doing is you're really revisiting that imaginative part of who you are. Remember that the purpose of the vision board is to focus your attention briefly on what you desire. And then what you do is you briefly connect with that intuitive, imaginative soul part of yourself and then move on. The less mental strain that you actually feel when you look at your board, then the sooner things are going to happen. So here's some very quick basics 101 on creating a vision board. You need to get in a mind space that you believe that whatever you put on the board will manifest. Instead of gathering, number two, instead of gathering familiar energies for your board, scout out unfamiliar ones. So I'm going to use, again, a car. So while your day mind may think that you need a white car because that's what you've always have, because that's what's familiar, then what you want to do is you want to look for an image of a red car that you desire. And what that does is it kind of befuddles, is a word that my mom used to use, the mind itself, because what it does is it takes the thinking from the familiar and it helps the brain, the mind, adapt to the unfamiliar. So when you put that new image on the car that you desire, then maybe it's a Tesla, you want it in red instead of owning white. And then what you do is you actually are using neuroplasticity, that ability of the brain to adapt to the desires and imagination of what your soul is helping you manifest in that deep inner self. Your brain quickly adapts and sees that as the reality. So number three, use images that create a physical reaction, a heart thump, a double take, a goosebump, or a gasp. These responses should be, ooh, ah, whoa, this is so cool. These images register in your stomach, your heart, and your lungs, anywhere but in your head. Now, the parietal part of the brain is the part of the brain that monitors body sensations. And when you get those goosebumps, that part of the brain isn't thinking, oh, you can't have this. What it's doing is it's going, wow, that red car, OMG, I can see myself in there. The body actually responds in a very excitable way instead of an anxious way. So again, you want these images to register in your stomach, your heart, and your lungs, but not in your head, being familiar, because that'll stop you. Number four, when gluing the images on your board, don't think about a sequence. Boy, this is something that I really had to work on with people when they were in my vision board classes, is don't think about a sequence. You don't need the colors to match. You don't need it to be logical. What you want to do is you just want to pick up an image, put some glue on it, and stick it on your board. Now, it doesn't make any difference if you stick it in the center, you stick it anywhere. Just stick it on the board, because your imagination, intuition, and soul is telling you where that image needs to go in the sequence of what you believe, rather than your mind, what you believe that you desire. So just start gluing. If you overthink the process, what you do is you lose the joy of creating the vision board, and then your imagination just kind of wanders away, because it's like, okay, the brain has taken over, the mind has taken over, the shoulda, coulda, wouldas has taken over. And what's going to happen when the imagination wanders? You're not going to get that full benefit of the soul and imagination that's going to be a part of the law of magnetic attraction. So just relax. Have it fun. You don't need to necessarily do a vision board all in one step. Maybe it's an ongoing process. Maybe you wake up in the morning and you have this inspiration of something that you desire. Go put it on your vision board. Sometimes it can take a week. Sometimes it can take 3 months for some people. There's no time limit on it, because once you set the momentum of the desire in place, the images will come to you as you desire them, as you believe that you can. And you're going to be surprised at how successful and how quickly these things manifest. So just relax, have fun, let your mind go blank, and then just start cutting and gluing and writing words and putting the bling and doing things and having it fun. Even when I taught my class, I said to people at the very beginning, today when we're creating a vision board, you may not finish it today. That's okay. It's an ongoing process. Number five, once your board is created, stop thinking about it. One of the biggest mistakes is continuing to push something that you've already set in motion. Don't use your vision board as results-oriented approach, but use it as a possibility-oriented approach. The key phrase to making your vision board work is to forget about it once you created it. Number six, making a vision board isn't a substitute for elbow grease. You still got to do the work. You've still got to do the stuff to make it happen. In my particular case, when I wanted to write a book, before I even had the one fall off the shelf by Louise Hay, I decided that I wanted to write a book. I knew what I wanted the cover to even look like, and I created that cover in not only images but in a drawing. But I didn't know how to write a book, so that's immediately created this book. So what I did is I took pictures of me sitting in classes and proposals, book proposals, and I even put on, interesting, I had forgot about that, I even put what Hay House wanted as a proposal, because when I decided that I was going to write a book, the thing that I remembered was that if I ever had anybody publish my book, I wanted it to be Louise Hay. There was just a kindredness there. And voila, look at what happened. I now have 5 books through Hay House. So I put on there that I wanted to take classes. So you might want to take classes if you're wanting to write a book, or get involved in webinars. Put a computer up there with the word webinar in it. And then also learn the ropes. If you want to start with a blog, put the word blog on the vision board and really use it that way, so it can help you. And the final thing is, remember that your vision board is a work in process. You can, progress. You can also always add to it. Very, very important for you to remember. I want to jump in and take a couple of more calls. So if, let's go ahead and let's do Lou. Hi, Lou.
How are you, Doctor?
I am so good. And you?
Well, I'm kind of perplexed.
Okay.
The reason why I called. I had a blood test taken about 2 years ago and everything was in order.
Mm-hmm.
They took a chest x-ray and they find out that I have an enlarged heart. So they continue on and they give me an endocardiogram and everything was beautiful, everything's functioning properly. But the doctor never really gave me a reasonable explanation of how you get this. I mean, I've never had any situation at all in my whole life. And then I wasn't getting satisfied with the answer he was giving.
Right, right.
I'm upset because I have an enlarged heart, and I want to know why.
So there's first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to have you – have you Googled it? Have you gone on the computer and Googled it? Why don't you do that? Because that's going to give you the clinical aspect of it. Some people's heart, honey, just enlarge as they age. And it doesn't have to be enlarged to the point that it's going to explode or that it has a real problem. But some people in their genetics actually have the propensity for the heart enlarging. The other thing that can cause it is if someone has had respiratory, maybe allergies or asthma or things that have caused the heart-lung dynamics to have to work overtime. So that can cause it to enlarge also. One of the things that I pick up, and, you know, I my job is never to discredit doctors, but yes, your heart is enlarged, sweet. I can actually pick it up. I can see it. But your heart isn't enlarged the way that you're being led to believe from the standpoint of being a scary thing. So there's a part of me that wants to go in and say to the doctor, I'd like you to go back and I'd like you to look at it and put it in perspective. Is the enlargement 10% larger than what the human heart is naturally normally designed? Has there been a propensity for it to be on the larger side, even when he looked at it before? How much, and I would love to know what the percentage that doctor categorizes an enlarged heart. Because when they say that, and especially if they don't give you the information, the mind's going to go in there, and it's just going to see it as a balloon that's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's going to burst one of these days.
Well,
so there is a genetic predisposition to that. The fact that when I go in and I scan your heart, the reason I brought up the lungs is I can actually pick up a respiratory predisposition to cause the heart to have to work harder to be able to give you the air that you need in order to function properly. Were you a smoker, sweetie?
I basically stopped smoking 14 years ago, but I just started dabbling again, like maybe two or three a day. But I went for 14 years and I didn't smoke.
Right. So there's something I picked that up with. I didn't pick up the smoking. I need to be very clear. I'm not, you know, my ethics and my guides say, oops, you didn't know. You didn't. Don't do that, Carol. So excuse me for that. So what it is that if I may please encourage you, is that the nicotine is an addictive substance that is saying to me that there's something that obvious that you're fearful of. This is the enlarged heart. But there's something in your life, sweetie, that's missing. There's something that is a sweetness that you're looking for. There's a lot in you that you still have to do, Lou, before you leave this earth, sweetie.
Yeah, for sure.
And you might even use a vision board, and the title of that vision board may be Sweetness of Life. And maybe what you do is you look at the images of the things that you find, images of what you've done well, the things that give you personal satisfaction, that breathes life into you, that gets you up out of bed every day, that kept you moving the way it needed to, that you didn't feel like the life was being sucked out of you. I don't use that metaphor loosely, sweetie. That's what it feels like. Again, the doctor wasn't wrong. I don't mean to imply that, but to leave someone dangling was wrong. And
I didn't get the logical explanation that I thought.
Yes. So you can do one or two things. Another thing you could do is that you could talk to the doctor, make another appointment, go to the doctor and say, okay, I need to know exactly what this is. When you say enlarge, what is the percentage? Because you're very visual, you need that percentage. So you can say, oh, my gosh, well, we're looking at, you know, is this 80% enlarged? Oh, my gosh. Then there's things, or is it 10%, 5%? It's not very much, really, sweetie. And then look at the things that you want to do in the future and find images that you would like to put on your vision board and use that as your healing to be able to keep your body as healthy as it is. It really is.
Yeah.
And one of the things is that also the loss of sweetness of life can affect thyroid and blood sugar. You do have a little bit of those two things going on, just slightly, nothing dangerous, nothing to be concerned about, but there. So let's see what we can do on a vision board to create the sweetness of life that you're looking for.
Okay. That sounds good.
And then I would go and Google and find out more about what's there. Mayo Clinic, Google Mayo Clinic. They have a wonderful write-up on enlarged hearts. You can also go in. WebMD is a good site. They don't seem to have as much detail on it, but you can look at that. And then you can look at the genetic factor. And if you go back to your father's father, there's also this genetic predisposition in him. Do you know what he died of, sweet?
Well, in all fairness, on both sides of my family, for two or three generations, it's all cardiac.
Yes.
My mom, my dad, my grandfather, my grandmother. There's nobody dying of cancer.
Yes.
It was really funny because when I went to this first doctor, and she's doing all these tests, the PSA test and this test and that test, and she did a family background, and wound up, she says to me, you're not going to die of cancer. You're having a heart attack. I'm going to keep you from having it as long as I can. That was her. That was her life. Because of the genetic background.
Exactly.
And when we did the PSA test, that was like 0.0003. I mean, it was like so negligible.
I have a lot of male listeners that are envious of you right now, sweetie.
Yeah, it wasn't showing up on the scanner. It was so low.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. This thing with the heart has got me really befuddled because, I want to get a better explanation than what I get.
Absolutely. And when you get the better explanation, then what you will do is then you can create the image. You get the image of what's going on very clearly, and then you can create the image of what you need to do to keep the longevity. And the reason I picked up your father and your grandfather is that it feels like the genetic predisposition is more on your dad's side. And I don't pick this up so much with your dad, but it's like the genetics skipped a beat with your dad and you happen to inherit it. And again, very clear on what it is so you can deal with it. But it does feel to me, sweetie, like this is kind of taking the wind out of your sails. Obviously so. It's emotionally distracted you. Obviously so. But let's create something that puts you back into the part because you've got a lot to give.
Well, I appreciate it. I want it to be that way.
Absolutely. And you do. And it feels to me like you've got four things that you want to do on the table. There may be more. I pick up four. And, you know, take those four things and spend a little bit of time and, you know, walk and daydream and do the things and get those four things on your board and then start putting pictures to it. And then the one that you really are most kind of your body's involved in and is that like big aha moment, that's the one that you focus your attention on and boom, Now you'll start living life as if you're living instead of looking over your shoulder wondering when the next shoe's going to drop. This is main thing I pick up, sweetie, is the worry factor of this needs to go away. Any way that we can do it. Doctor, thanks. Anyway. So, yeah.
Thank you very much.
You are so welcome. You have a wonderful, wonderful day. So what I want to do is I've got one more call. I do want to take that. But what I do want to do is to kind of go in and look just very quickly again at a vision board. I'm going to wrap up with it. But remember that the vision board is what you believe that you can manifest on your own with the help of your guides and your angels. And what they'll do is they'll help attract the human beings and the opportunities and all the experiences that is going to make that vision board happen. So I'm going to wrap up a little bit more of that. But let's take Teresa from Toronto. Hi, sweetie.
Hello there, Carol. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You are welcome. How can I help you, hon?
Actually, I suffer from bipolar depression. It's actually bipolar disorder, but the manias don't really bother me.
Correct.
Maybe they should, but they don't. And I have also many other sort of health conditions as well, like insomnia. But I also have extreme apathy, which I think is separate maybe from the bipolar depression, rather. And ADD and anxiety, and it's just, you know, I don't understand like why I seem to be blessed with many strengths and gifts, and yet I haven't been able to use them so that I can you know, be stable in a,
right.
in a career. I don't even have a career. I mean, I've tried so many different careers. I've just kind of at that place where I just give up trying. So 2 years now, I've just been stuck, and I haven't been moving forward. Just, you know, life is,
right.
really, really tough, and I don't really have the will to, I don't know.
First of all, sweetie, the ADD, the apathy, all of the things that you're experiencing are tied to the bipolar. And it's tied to that chemistry imbalance that happens in the bipolar process. And when we get into the place where we're on top of things, then that addictive part of the brain and the endorphins and all of the different neuropeptides and the enzymes, all of the things that make us feel good have kicked in. And it's like feeling really, really good with, and then all of a sudden we don't feel good. So I'm going to liken it be like having a major back problem. And then some days you wake up and, oh my gosh, it's not as bad and you can do the things. And then you can wake up another day clearly out of the blue and boom, now you can hardly get out of bed. You can't do anything that you wanted to. So that process, and it's not the mania, it's just the chemistry part of it. And when you, as long as you've been involved in this, your body's just honestly very tired. So I'm going to ask some questions. Are you on medication?
No, I'm not. I've tried. As I said, I'm very medication resistant.
Okay. Have you tried hypnotherapy?
I tried past life regression.
Okay. Okay. But here's a couple things is that I don't believe that you're medicine resistant. I believe that there are things that you can take. I can pick up a combination of two, maybe three very, very low dosages that you could do that complement each other and keep you in that stable place. You could look at hypnotherapy not from past lives, because what that does is that feeds both that fear part of the bipolar and the pleasure part of bipolar. While it has some value in trying to understand in a bigger picture, it doesn't have value on how you can use hypnotherapy to stabilize yourself. Remember that this is a chemistry disease of the mind. And what that means is it's not for attention. It's not for all of the psychological things. This literally needs to be physically addressed. The apathy is the adrenal burnout that happens as a result of a body chemically that cannot stabilize itself. So in the apathy aspect of it, you can look at that. The other thing is that one of the things that I pick up, you're highly developed in your intuition. and your intuition works for you when you're in the lows and when you're in the highs. I have an angel with you. Are you connected to angels? Are you aware of this?
I've been trying to, but I can't say that I really picked it up, but I've been trying consciously to do that.
Okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to go and I want you to start researching Archangel Michael. And I want you to learn about Michael. Michael is a tremendous healer of body, mind, and energy. And to learn more about Michael and to come up with a vision of Michael that you can call upon, sweetie, that you can call upon every morning you wake up. And you can see how you're being supported and being assisted to be able to help you get through the day chemically, physically, in the way that you need to.
So you actually sense his presence around me?
I do. I do. So you know what, sweet? I'm sorry to do this. I thought I would leave you dangling. I don't mean to do that. But I would look at meds. I would call in Archangel Michael. And I would create a vision board of Archangel Michael and use that as your way to heal, sweetie.
Thank you so much.
Are so welcome. Okay. All of you, thank you. Wonderful show. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Have a great week. I'll see you next week on the radio. Good night. Goodbye.
You've been listening to The Carol Rieberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.